Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Kingdom citizens. It is another day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in. Well, welcome to Let's Talk Kingdom with Katrina. Hope you had a fantastic day today. You know, they were calling for ice in my city today, and we only got just a little bit of ice. But you know what? Praise God. We didn't get the snow and all the other things that they were calling for. So you know what? It's another great day in the Lord. I want to tell you that we have started doing three shows during the week. We are now doing a Monday. We've doing a Wednesday, and then we're doing a Friday show. So Let's Talk Kingdom has jumped up, and we're doing 3 days a week. And so we hope that you continue to follow us, tell your family, tell your friends that Let's Talk Kingdom is on 3 days a week, and we're also on WPGN Network out of Atlanta, and we're also on WVOD out of Jacksonville, Florida. So we thank God for those radio stations that are playing our archive shows during the week, and we just want to continue to thank them for being a blessing to us. Well, without further ado, I want to read a little bit about our guest that's coming on. Her name is Jamie Lynn, and Jamie Lynn, she's originally from Peoria, Illinois. She now and has since resided in Tennessee since 2001. She has three beautiful girls and a grandson. Jamie is an author, an actress, and a motivational speaker. She wrote her childhood testimony in a book called Leading Lady, and she's performed in several plays, TV, movies, movie videos, and her most recent project is her book called Diamond in the Rough. I can't wait for her to tell you about this book that she has coming out or has come out. She's just excited to share her testimony and her walk as a Christian with people all around the world. And she says, I can't wait to see the doors that God is going to open. Jamie has a tremendous testimony, you guys, and I want her to be able to come on and tell you about what the Lord has done in her life and how she has been delivered from a lot of things. So without further ado, I want to bring this awesome woman of God on the line. Jamie, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am, I am. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you today?
I am fabulous. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm so excited.
Oh, my God. Thank you for coming on the show. Now, look, I read a little bit about your bio, and I didn't want to really get into the meat of it because I really want you to share that with our listening audience. But tell us a little bit about yourself, just other than you being this awesome author, actress, and motivational speaker.
Yeah, you know, as you know, those things don't just come overnight, you know, and being saved, I ran from God. I grew up in foster care, and when I was 14, I had foster girl. I thought they were Jesus freaks. I'm like, oh my gosh, where am I at? Why am I living here? You know, and little did I know at that time it was God planting a seed for the bigger picture, you know, and I talked about in Leading Ladies, I wrote my childhood testimony in a book called Leading Ladies, and it said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. He knew what he was forming, and he knew the destiny and the things that I was going to go through as a child, and I had a really rough childhood. I was physically and sexually abused, was taken from my mom at the age of 10 and bounced around from foster home to foster home. And in Leading Ladies, I talk about, you know, my childhood up till about the time that I got saved, actually. I've had two abortions, put a child up for adoption, and was a single mom for a while and then got married. But all of this, in 2001, is mm-hmm. when God like just was like, okay, enough is enough. And that's where I start talking in Diamond in the Rough. That's where I go from, I call it process. You know, I have 10 chapters in Diamond in the Rough. So mm-hmm. it's just, you know, people think that being a Christian, you get saved and your life is perfect and God's a genie in the bottle. And you and I both know that that's not how it works. He has to yeah. prune some things off you. We have to get chipped and burned and crushed, because we still have those worldly things either in us, on us, around us. And it's a process. It's a journey. And I think people need to be more real about that instead of sitting in church with their holier-than-thou religious stuff selves and just really, you know, say, this is where I come from, you know.
Yeah.
Let's not paint a pretty yeah. picture, because too many people want to paint a pretty picture. Well, don't talk about being a dancer because that might make somebody stumble. Well, if that person's stumbling, then they need to check their walk, because God told me he did not want me to sugarcoat. So
yeah.
it's raw and real.
Very well, and I think we've had a lot of that sugarcoating for a number of years, and I think that's why we've lost a lot of people, you know, to
yes.
the enemy, because we are not, you know, transparent enough to let them know, look, we've gone through this, and sometimes we still continue to go through, but God, and I like the way you said that, you know, at the end, you said, my life has not been easy, but God. So I want you to just talk
mm-hmm.
to our listening audience and just tell them about even those moments after you were saved, you know, how you still struggle, but God.
Yeah, let me, in my book, like that's the whole journey. It's a journey. And in
yes.
the book, I just discuss, you know, I wasn't delivered from drugs immediately. I wasn't, you know, I struggled with alcohol. You know, it wasn't like I would drink every single day, but there, I would go through my periods where I would drink alcohol or I would go back to cocaine, because what you do when you get saved, when the pressure gets to be too much, and if you're not in a deeper relationship, that's what it's about, a deeper relationship and being able to surrender it all to Christ. Because if you
yeah.
don't have that understanding, then you don't know to do that. And that's, again, a part of the process. But I didn't know to just, okay, I really just need to surrender this, but I held on to it. I held on to the
mm-hmm.
drinking, and I held on because it was my comfort zone. But God has, like, within the last year, I can honestly say, like, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, even being promiscuous, you know what I mean? We don't want to talk about that. Oh, no, let's not touch that topic. But it happens. You have people sitting in church at the pulpit sleeping around and not wanting to
mm-hmm.
talk about these things. Let's get to the root of the issue. Let's get to what's really going on with these broken people sitting in church. And that's what I love about this book. It's just very transparent and very raw and real. And you know what? I didn't learn all this overnight. It was, I had
yeah.
to fall. I had to fail. I had to get back up. I had to go through some stuff, some of it my own doing, some of it not my doing at all. But at the end of the day, I can say where I am today is way further than I was in 2001 when I got saved.
Wow. Amen. And I love it, because, Jamie, that's the thing. People are tired of looking at these, you know, so-called perfect people that we say are Christians
mm-hmm.
and looking for people that are transparent and being able to share, because, you know, once you, you know, God gives you that freedom, and I want you to talk about that,
yes.
when you receive that freedom in your life, once you get that freedom, you can tell people about your past, because that's no longer who you are. Amen?
No, yes, amen. It's a deliverance. And what you feel inside, the peace that you have inside when you are just delivered from the things, from what you used to do. You know, one of the things I talk about, like after I got hurt from a gentleman in the church, I was literally like, you know what, forget this. I'm just going to go and I'm going to be the player. I'm going to be promiscuous. And I was, you know, and that was very empty. and inside you don't have peace. You know, when we have one foot in the world and one foot with God, I don't care who you are. You can tell me till you're blue in the face that you're happy and you got to know you are tormented on the inside because the enemy, that's the enemy's playground. Because you, here you're trying to do right, but yet you're still dabbling in the world. It's a miserable place. And what I can say is when I laid it all down at the feet of Jesus, the peace that I have from leaving that stuff alone, it's the peace that surpasses all understanding, you know, that God gives us. And I'm thankful for that. You know, I look back and I'm like, I don't want to do that. You know, the things of the world are not so tasteful. You know, I remember a year and a half ago when I went out one night and I ended up doing cocaine and I was like, you know what, this isn't who I am. And God kept telling me, Jamie, this is not who you are anymore. Mm-hmm, you don't have to do this. And having a title and being in a book called Leading Ladies, that keeps you accountable. You know what I mean? And so God just said, this isn't who you are. So many times, you know, we stay in that mindset that that's who we still are, you know, and it's not, you know, but people need to know that their journey is their journey, Katrina. They really do. And we're going to fall. We're going to get bruises. We're going to get wounds. We're going to get cut. People are going to hurt us. You know, we're going to go back to things that were comfortable, but you know what? That's part of the process. And that's part of God just taking it and just chiseling that off and saying, you know what? And that's where I think we really get to see the true love of God. I'm about to get emotional because when you get a true understanding of Christ's love, you know what I'm saying? It's like nothing can stop you. You'll be like, somebody will come up and be like, well, you know, I know you did drugs a year ago. You know what? But God says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and that's not who I am anymore. So if you want to stay there, go on ahead. You know what I mean? I love it.
Now, Jamie, let me ask you a question because, you know, I did read where it says that, you know, you were taken from your mom. Have you ever had the opportunity to be reunited with your, you know, your biological mom, or you have not had that opportunity?
No. You know, what's beautiful about that is I always had contact with my mom, but I was 11 years old the last time I lived with her, and you know, we did see each other. And I got to see her probably the first time, like in four, like when I turned 18. Like I hadn't seen her in like 2 or 3 years because she signed her rights away when I was 16, and I got to see her when I was 18. And you know, the thing about my mom was she was more my best friend than she was a mother to me. And I talk about this in Diamond in the Rough, chapter six is about forgiveness. And my mom passed away in 2003. And it was one of the hardest things I ever had to do was like bury my mom, because I didn't want to bury my mom. I wanted my mom to be okay and healthy. But through my mother's death is how I learned to forgive her for not being able to be the mother that I wanted her to be. And, you know, I love my mom. And I mean, she did the best that she knew how to do from what she came from. And I just, it was, like I said, it was through her death. And yes, I did have contact with her.
Good, good. How do you feel with your three daughters, kind of the things that, you know, you don't want to repeat that maybe happened with you and your mom, and that you instill in them or are showing them or are teaching them? Talk about that, because God blessed you with three beautiful daughters.
Yes. Now, my 20-year-old is the one that I put up for adoption, and there is a beautiful, beautiful story behind that. We do have a relationship. She lives in North Carolina, and she's the one that has a little boy. And then my 19-year-old, she lives out in Washington State, and my 9-year-old is with me. And what I instill in them that was not instilled in me is the love of God. You know, with my 19-year-old, my 19-year-old has seen me go through more, and her and I have had some strains on our relationship, but she's seen what God has done in my life. But I'll tell you the one thing no matter where I was in my life with my 19-year-old, if I was out doing drugs or I was stripping or anything, I covered her. I never allowed men to come around her. And even though I was not saved, that was the one thing that was like, I will not allow men to traffic in and out of my daughter's lives, because that was the one thing that was a lot of. There was a lot of men coming in and going, and my mom chose men over us children. And I was like, I'm not doing this. And the physical abuse, you know. And I always uplift my daughters. I've always told my daughter, like my 19-year-old, I can just repeatedly remember when I would spank her, or I'd say, I don't like the behavior, but I let them know that I love you, not what you're doing. And we need to separate the behavior from the person that they are. And, you know, it is probably the one thing I cherish more than anything is being a mom, because my plan was never to be a mother. And I wanted to be the woo-woo party girl. I ain't having kids. I'm going to live my life how I want to live it. But God saw, you know, God was like, no, you need them children. But it's so beautiful because, you know, I get to love these human beings, and I've been blessed. I mean, they are my blessing. You know, God handpicked me to be their mama when he could have picked somebody else. And that's the difference. You know, I love my girls like a mother-daughter relationship, and I never had that with my mom.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Yeah. I love it. And see, you know, that's one of the things that I believe brings about with restoration. You know, sometimes we don't understand why God allows things to happen, but then when we look back over our life, we're like, God, I understand now, because where you are is where that recovery, and now being able to go out and to speak and motivate and even help others. Tell me how you kind of got into the actress and the motivational speaking piece. Was that someone approached you? Because it says that you were in several plays and you've had some, you know, TV appearances and different things. So kind of talk about how that brought you to where you are now.
I was in seventh grade. I was in a play. I don't remember the name of it. I just remember that I got to have a whistle, and I was Josephine, and I blew the whistle and looked over and was like, "Is that child an idiot?" You know, and it's just, I fell in love with it. And then eighth grade, I did another play called Once Upon a Summer, and I had a very encouraging acting coach at that time, and she said, "You really carry this scene." And it's just something I always, and I never had like huge parts. I was never a lead, but I was passionate about it, you know, and I did it. And then I laid it down for a really long time and then got back into it like 4 years ago. I was in a play called Deception Fooled by Feeling, featuring Pastor Wes Morgan, which was amazing. It was by far, that's probably one of my favorite productions that I've done, because it's just, it was awesome. Just we got to go to Brownsville, Tennessee. We went to Michigan, and how I got into motivational speaking and where I am today, I talk about this in Diamond in the Rough. It's divine appointments. Treva Gordon, she was on your show a couple weeks ago with Robin Gordon. I met her down at the river. I met her down at the riverfront. Phenomenal woman of God. I'm crazy about her. Met her down at the riverfront, and then there was another big event at this place, and I went to an event up in Michigan with her. There's a whole story behind that. I don't want to tell it all because it's in the book, but that's how I got into motivate. If anybody knows Treva, it's like, it's a sink or swim type thing. And she will tell you, you know, like when I first met her, I said, "I've always wanted my own talk show. How do I get started?" She threw me in front of the camera instantly. And it was like, "You're either going to sink or you're going to swim." And so I was like, so why are you single? And I'm just like interviewing this woman. So it's just, that's how I got into the speaking, because, you know, she'll hand you the microphone and be like, "Here, Jamie, say something," you know, and it just gets you out of that comfort zone or that fear of not wanting to speak. So she's been a great friend, a great mentor and just somebody that pushes me to be better. And the, like I said, the book Leading Ladies, how it has kept me accountable, you know, and my story being in that book, and just being able to be a part of that in itself has just blessed my socks off, you know, just absolutely amazing. And what God has done for me through that, I've got to go to the sellers and interview people. So it's just, it's all a setup. Like if you think about it, like you were talking about, sometimes we question God, like, you know, I understand people, well, if God was real, then why does he let children starve and get abused? Mm-hmm. Well, because we have evil in this world. And for me, I've never once blamed God for my childhood. It's just not something that I've ever, ever done, because he's given me the understanding that we're born into this world as sinners. And if we don't choose him, then things happen. And even when you get saved, you know, bad things happen to good people. That doesn't mean God is not bad, because Romans 8:28 says all things work together for our good, whether it be bad or good in our life. We have to understand that he's working it out. We just have to keep pushing, even when it sucks and it doesn't feel good. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm sorry if I don't know if I can say that, but it's just being real, you know?
Amen. That's true. You hit it right on the head. Now, I wanted to ask you a question. Do you see possibly one of your books being a play or on television or in a movie? Have you ever ever dropped that in your spirit?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're asking me that. Yes. Yes. Actually, I believe that both of these books, with the right people, I firmly believe that my testimony as a child will intertwine with when I got saved, and just the, you know, the deliverance and that how God is real, you know what I mean? And what he has done. And yes, I absolutely see that happening. Awesome. Yes.
Now tell my listening audience how they can get your, book.
My book is still in the final stages of being published. We're going to have the release April 16th. But if somebody wanted to pre-order the book, they could go to my PayPal and give me their information. The book will be $15. And also, that's jamielynn1575@yahoo.com. And if they wanted to email me and get more information, I would gladly give that to them as well.
Okay, great. And Leading Ladies, is that one also available for purchase?
Absolutely. That is actually on Amazon. You can go to Amazon.com and it's on there. And my chapter is 22. And that's by Treva Gordon. It's not my name. It's 50 Women in a Book. And I was honored to be in that book. So absolutely, you can go to Amazon.com and get that. Or you can go to TrevaGordon.com and get it through her website as well.
Oh, great, great. Now, I wanted to kind of piggyback a little bit on something, because I know we have a lot of variety of different people that listen, you know, to the show. And also we archive our show as well, so you can always go back and listen to it at a later date. I want to touch on the part about, you know, you going through the fight and wanting to try to, you know, in doing that, because I think it said in your bio that you had tried twice. Kind of talk about that period in your life and where you were and where God brought you out through that.
Can I just tell you, I do say two times in there as an adult that I tried to commit suicide. Once I tried to slice my wrist and I went to stab myself in the chest, and I had a friend grab the knife and throw me across the room. By the grace of God, he was there too. You know, it was just, I was very emotionally overwhelmed. But you know, it's very sad, but as a 10-year-old, I was trying to take my own life. There was this medicine, and I took like 5 in the morning, 5 at night, and 5 that evening. And all it did was make me really, really sick. But, you know, looking back on that, I'm like, I was not in the right mind frame. And then I was 26 or 27, I took a half a bottle of Tylenol and a bunch of other pills, And the lethal amount of Tylenol at that time that you could have in your body, the levels were 140. My levels were 170. And again, I wasn't saved at this time, you know, but I had a Christian foster parents, and the pastor came and prayed for me. And I had to take about 18 treatments of the stuff called Mucomist. It was awful. It smelled like rotten eggs. It tasted like rotten. But the thing is, you know, when people get to that, they just feel like there's nothing else left. When somebody says, I'm suicide, I want to kill myself, I don't take it lightly. You know, so many people are like, well, that's just, you know, people that really want to kill themselves, they just go and do it. Well, no, sometimes people cry out. We need to take that. I wrote a note to my foster mom like 3 weeks before that, and I said, I just don't feel like living anymore. You know what I mean? And it's the hopelessness and that feeling. And you know, that is the one thing that the enemy will constantly come to me and be like, well, you can just take your life, Jamie. It doesn't matter. And I have to stand up to him and say, no, that's a lie from the pit of hell, because my God will flash what it'll do to my girls. You know what I mean? Above anything else, it would devastate them. But, you know, God, when you put God first, even when you hear that voice, take your life, you can stand up against it and say, you know what, but no. And you just speak scripture and you just start praying in the spirit, you know? But God, that was in my early 20s before I got saved, when I tried to do that. But it has crossed my mind, you know, a couple of times being a Christian. Like when I was going through my divorce, I was just like, this is too much, you know? And that's, I do want to touch on that. The beautiful thing about my walk with God, and I talk about this, is at each point in my life, God placed just phenomenal women to mentor me. Like, I can sit here and just recall, and when I was feeling suicidal, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when I was going through my divorce, you know, God gave me this woman that was just, she was just amazing. She just loved me right where I was at. And that's what we need to do. We need to love people in their mess. You know, they already know they're messed up. We don't need to beat them over the head. We just need to love them, not enable them. I'm not saying, hey, enable them to continue to be messy. No, but sometimes what people need is a hug. Say, you know what, it's going to be okay. I love you. I genuinely care about you as a person. And God literally placed those type of people in my life along the way.
Yes, he does. I truly believe that. Now, I wanted to ask you a question. You're in Tennessee. What part of Tennessee are you in?
I'm in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Okay, great. And what church do you go to there in Clarksville?
I'm attending Mile High Church right now, and it's called C3 Ministries. I attend two different services, one's in the morning, and then I'm helping this Pastor Sean and Pastor Karen. They just got here from Alaska, and then Treva Gordon and her husband have a church. And so I attend both, and I love it. I love it. I just enjoy loving people and serving. You know, to me, church is a building, and I think it's important to have a home church. Right now, for me, it's like I'm doing both. So I'm very blessed to be able to serve Treva and Robert and Pastor Sean and Pastor Karen.
Amen. Now, if any of our listeners that's listening tonight wanted to have you come and, you know, speak to their women's group or youth group or whatever, how would they be able to reach you? And do you have any speaking engagements coming up in the near future?
Yes, I do. I have one in August with Pastor Karen Miles. That's the church, C3 Ministries. It's called Cover Up. I will be one of the keynote speakers at that event. I'm super excited. The location of it, I'm not sure, because we're getting a building, so that will be determined. But to ask me questions, you can contact me on my cell phone at 931-302-4527, and you can also email me at jamielynn1575@yahoo.com.
Amen, amen. Well, we are coming up with one more minute on the show. And, Jamie, I appreciate you coming on and just blessing my listeners
tonight.
Thank
you.
Before we close out the show, I always ask my guests to close us out in a word of prayer. I would be honored if you would do that for us tonight. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every person who was able to hear this. I pray that someone was blessed. I thank you for Katrina tonight, and I ask that you continue to bless her ministry, Lord. And, Father, I just ask right now that you just bless this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, Kingdom Citizens, we are at the top of the hour. Our show is over, but we hope and pray that you have been blessed by this phenomenal woman of God and her testimony. I want you to go get her book when it comes out. We're going to definitely post it on our Facebook page. And any events that she has, Jamie, we want you to let us know because we want to spread the word for you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on the show. You're such a blessing.
Oh, thank you. You are as well. And as we always close out the show, Kingdom Citizens, let's talk. Good night, everybody. Jamie, I love you. I'll be seeing
you
soon,
too.
Lady.
Yes, ma'am. You too. Bye.
Take over this place, take over me. Let your Shekinah glory fill this place. Trace this place.